United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
The fifth anniversary of the Seminary Explores podcast. We have been podcasting for 5 years, since 2013, and we're pleased today to share our experiences as the people who were the hosts and leaders of these podcasts for the past 5 years. They are Nelson Strobert, who has been with us long enough, if we go back to the days of radio, Don Redman, Katie Giebenhain, and we're speaking for an absent Kristen Largen, who can't be with us today. Starting with our experiences over 5 years, Katie, what are the highlights that you can remember from this period?
It's always tricky to choose highlights. One of the conversations that comes to my mind is one with Reverend John McElhenney. We were talking about the priest poet R.S. Thomas, an incredible Welsh poet that he had written a book about, and he had visited with R.S. Thomas. And as a retired United Methodist minister, I found it so wonderful to talk to him not only about poetry, but also about someone who himself had been a preacher and who was really thinking about seminarians and about preachers and the direct and indirect ways that a figure like R.S. Thomas is so interesting for this audience. So that's one of the conversations that I just found so so rich and interesting, and I really appreciated that time.
Generally speaking, you have been our point person for the literature, the arts in general, have you not? That's been your specialization?
Yeah,
it's been your interest?
Yes.
It's what you did most when you were with us at the seminary, and you had contacts with people in this regard. Don Redman is our from the Seminary Department of Technology, and saves us all, especially all three of us. All three of us nod in approval. As you think about the times they've saved us with PowerPoint and podcasting. Don, how about your experiences with us? Both as maybe we should skip the producer part and just go right to the interviewer part.
Oh, so you don't want me to play back all the bloopers right. and things that I have archived for later use.
He knows all our
secrets. We'll hang on to that for now then. I mean, I think it's been interesting that everybody has a story. I mean, everybody we talk to, you know, there'd be somebody you'd walk by on the street and wouldn't think twice of sometimes, and yet they have a story. And so I often wonder how many stories we miss because we don't stop somebody on the street and see what their story is. I mean, I've found for me that sometimes, sadly, the best conversation occurs after I hit stop on the recorder.
Right.
We get done with the interview, and then we have this conversation afterwards that, you know, I'm wishing, well, why didn't I just keep recording, you know, but, you know, and then those are just a personal conversation that we have. I think one of those was interviewed one of the National Park artists who was an Iraqi war veteran, who was using his art to process through all that he'd experienced, not only in the war, but in his previous life before that. He had a very challenging life. And just to, you know, the depth of some of these people that we encounter and what has brought them to their particular expertise or their particular art is sometimes very interesting. So. I think that's kind of what I've picked up from a lot of what I've experienced in the few interviews that I've been able to do.
Nelson, you've been with us longest, except for myself.
Except for you.
There are a lot of changes that have taken place since we are on radio.
A lot of changes, but at the same time, I have to agree with Don. It's the stories that are presented, and sometimes these stories come out ahead. They come out in place of what you originally thought was the interview, and you find some just interesting pieces. For me, I in terms of the radio period, one of the most fascinating for me was the time I interviewed Elizabeth Cope, who was one of the hostages in Iran for 444 days. Yeah. And I was just amazed at her faith and her her ability to forgive those who had captured her, had held her captive. At the same time, I was intrigued by the fact that she was nurtured in the church, and that the things that our, particularly our adolescence and confirmation years, abhor, that is, memorizing the catechism, became so important to her, as well as knowing the liturgy, and that helped her through that crisis. The other piece that, in terms of our podcast, was when I interviewed Odile, I think, who was a who came from ran away from the Congo, and we hear about refugees and the plight that they go through. And to arrive here in South Central Pennsylvania, to know calm, to be able to work, and who had helped so many young people get away from being violent and killing, and this is part of his life story. That to me was amazing in light of what's going on in our. In our world today, and the issue of immigration and immigrants around the world.
We started, you and I together, in 1990, is that right? About 1990?
1990, yes. You were on sabbatical, uh-huh. And you asked me to help out. I thought that was for a temporary time.
And you're still here. Yeah, still,
and I remember being on the Seminary Explorers when I was a student, mm-hmm. with Dr. A. Roger Goebel, and I had just returned from internship, and he interviewed me and another classmate, John Baumgren, who had finished his internship as well. And I never thought I'd be a...
So in a sense, then you predate me, because I didn't begin until 1976, and Roger Goebel founded this program as the Seminary Explorers on radio,
right.
In 1970. So when we wrapped up the radio before this podcast, we were 43 years broadcasting from the time of Roger Goebel's founding of it. I found myself, one of the differences, I'll be trivial first, that one of the differences between when we were on the radio and what we're doing now was brought to mind by our own daughter, who, when I said, we're going to start podcasting and not just... just have a local radio show. Right. She said, you mean we won't learn anymore where they're going to locate the stop sign in Gettysburg this year? And I said, no, we got to give that sort of thing up. All of the issues we now have are nearly all of our much more national, international significance.
Yeah, global.
And right. As much as I miss some of those local issues, they are often included. Did you have any other highlights, Katie, that beyond the poet? I mean, you had some artists too, didn't you? That were
yes. So visual artists and writers, and also the folk singer David Lamott, who's also an author from North Carolina. That was also a tremendous conversation that I really appreciated.
Strikes me that you were at the time doing a lot of writing for the Seminary Review, but to be able to do a live sort of interface really brought a lot of kind of liveliness and a human depth to something that could not be captured on a printed page.
Yes, and there was some crossover. There were some times where I would interview someone, and a part of that would end up in Seminary Ridge Review or vice versa. One of those examples is that Sarah Hempel Iraney, a classically trained sculptor and feminist living in Frederick. We had just, as Dawn was saying, we had an interesting conversation afterward and before and during the interview, and it really blew me away to be also. That was one where I did offsite in her studio. So we're surrounded by armatures and sketches and pieces of work in progress. And one of these, there's a photograph from that studio that ended up on the cover of Seminary Ridge Review. But she was just fascinating to talk to, and I felt so lucky to be able to have that conversation. Mm.
We're talking about the fifth anniversary of the Seminary Explorers podcast today with four of the five interviewers, four of the five hosts, about what this podcast has meant to us personally and perhaps meant to the larger community that hears us when these are posted. They are Katie Giebenhain, Don Redman, Nelson Storbert, and myself. I'm Jerry Christensen. Don, I'm going to try to change things just a little bit, if you don't mind. What's been your experience about the, if we can measure it at all, any of the impact that we have? When I was joking about being on the radio, we never really did know who was out there listening.
Exactly.
Except when people would stop us on the street on rare occasions. Maybe you knew it was out there. But is there any way that you felt a kind of impact for what you have been so good about doing for us, and that is producing these programs?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say in a lot of ways. I mean, one of the things you look at is how many times was an episode viewed or right. listened to. And those numbers seem to be mostly dependent on how well connected the person we're interviewing is on social media. So the more they are out there and the more people they have that are interacting with them, that tends to be the issues or the episodes that do the best. Occasionally, if we do something topically, that might pique people's interests. But I think the ongoing challenge for us is getting out to people who aren't aware of what's going on. So it's helpful. What you'll see is when we have a really good episode, there'll be this kind of trickle down to other episodes because people now will have found the podcast
right.
and then they'll start exploring outward and seeing what else is going on. But for us, even in the radio days, we of course had a limited audience because it was geographical.
Mm-hmm.
And now our audience is more limited by how connected are we, basically via social media. And since I don't believe any of us are heavy social media participants, we're very dependent on our guests and their connectivity.
Mm-hmm. Nelson? Been a refreshing change, has it, or about the same?
I think in some ways a refreshing change. I think what we did before in the radio was important and was able to get out to people. But I think the internet makes for a larger audience. Mm-hmm. And worldwide. I don't know whether Don is able to find out from what location people are able to tune in, to download, but it seems to me that it just exposes the seminary and the topics to a worldwide audience.
And we can tell our interviewees that, you know, that's kind of nice to be able to say, not to have to say, well, you're on Adams County and Gettysburg only, but we're on podcasts and you can be heard just about anywhere, especially if you're already on social media.
Right, and people can pick it up. I was talking to a friend the other day and who had been on the radio side of this, and she says, oh, you're podcasting. You said, how do I find it? You know, which means, and so that she can find, you know, our programs that are in the archives to listen to. And I think that's an important piece that was certainly not possible in
once
the radio
you,
days.
Once you heard it on the radio, it was gone and not there anymore. And we didn't keep the tapes, unfortunately. We always erase them and use them again. I want to add that I think our program is, in the best sense, conservative. Yes. I have people here.
Explain that.
I think we are here to try to conserve the best values in human community. And those values are very much the same as they are in the Old Testament, which are values of peace, justice, and love. And though we don't necessarily go out and elicit programs on as that as a criteria, the people who do come here tend to be concerned about those things. And I think those are the best, in the best sense, conservative. It's obviously a different use of
right.
the word conservative.
And I think in the original productions, I mean, A. Roger Goble wanted to have people who were dedicated to those issues, but who also had a vested interest in those issues. And that, I think that made it important for the community. And I think that makes it important in terms of the podcast. People, you know, are concerned about those issues and are willing to expose themselves to the public and make their views public.
On that subject, Don, please.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering if I can maybe counterpoint that with a challenge for us going forward, in that we, because of the nature of what you've just described, we would be what you might call a more liberal broadcast.
We are that too. We're conservative and liberal.
And liberal. But I'm wondering if there is a way that we can approach this to hear more disparate voices, not necessarily in the idea of giving a platform to things that don't fall to that, but so that people can understand, why do people have different viewpoints? Where are they coming from? What are their fears that are driving them to those viewpoints? Because if we don't hear that side, we don't understand where other people are coming from, and especially the people we disagree with. And maybe we don't see how narrow the gap is in our real disagreement. Mm-hmm. Because we may be seeking the exact same things, but just the direction that we're coming at it is different. So I'm wondering, you know, that's something for us to consider in the future, is how can we bring in different voices while maintaining your conservative view, but still allowing ourselves and our audience to understand why do other people hold the viewpoints they do? Might be something to consider.
On that point, it seems to me that as far as process is concerned, the way we approach a guest and the topic on the Seminar Explorers is a long way away from the screaming and yelling you get in a lot of the dialogues on media nowadays. Way from that. To me, it's the closest, it's not the same as, but it's closest to an op-ed. The person we are interviewing has a point of view. They represent an expertise. Always we have expertise, there's no question.
Right.
But it's not quite the same either, because rather than the written word, they do have us there to lead them and also on occasion perhaps to challenge and correct. But we're not, on that sense, in the realm of objecting or interrupting every time somebody just starts a sentence. So we've got a long way to go to get people who are of a different opinion from time to time. And I don't know why that's been a bit of a difficulty, but it is a challenge.
And I guess an example that I can think of is earlier in the year, maybe last year, I did an interview with the folks who run Gettysburg for Gun Sense, who are approaching common sense gun
control
legislation, you know, not banning guns or anything like that. But at the same time, it would be interesting, maybe not in the same episode, because you don't want to create this point-counterpoint issue, I think,
right.
But to bring somebody else in who has a more traditional American view of the First Amendment and understand what their viewpoint is, you know, and again, to see that there's probably not much difference between what their end goal is. Everybody wants to be safe, but how they view getting to safe may be very different.
And that would be a contribution that this kind of program could make, is you'd ask the question about end goals rather than why are we arguing
What are you doing now?
Right.
Yeah. It's a very good point, very good.
So wrap it up, everybody. What do you think is important for us to say about the Seminar Explorers podcast and you, the fact that Don, don't the three of you agree, three of us agree, that the fact that Don invited us to do this program means that he's going to continue to have us on podcast for the years to come, and you think that's a good idea. Has it been a service, do you think, Katie?
I think so. I know that the artists in residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park have found it an interesting way to articulate the projects that they're working on, and I think that's been good. And also, to Don's point, we offer this, so they don't have to, but we offer this kind of as our sense of hospitality, basically, to each of the incoming artists. They're usually here for a month, and they do have different perspectives. They're working in different media, and some of them are attracted to the battlefield for. They have various viewpoints, and some of them are veterans. Some of them have, some of them come from different countries or different regions of this country, and know very little about the battle. Some of them have been have been studying it for years. So that has been an interesting opportunity for me, because these are people with different perspectives who are just talking about what they are doing, and that in a more subtle way, perhaps. Mm-hmm. That's kind of built in. And I just want to say that I so appreciate the fact that the Gettysburg National Military Park and the Gettysburg Foundation are making it possible to have the artists in residence come, because it's really an exceptional experience, and it does bring people who are working in really, really different media and really different projects, and some of them who have never heard of this seminary, or yes, in some case, or the park. And by coming, it's also an opportunity for them to, you know, remember it and all the other impressions that they have here as working artists, visual or there's also writers, but a lot of them are visual artists. And when they go back to where their studios are and where their home base is, it adds something to their experience of Gettysburg.
Yeah. To that very point, we're coming to an end, but you know, you've probably all four of us have noticed that we haven't once mentioned, until Katie brought it up now, the fact that we are the Seminary Explorers. We're not just exploring or some other, and that's been the reason why we've been in existence since 1970.
Exactly, and I think one of the contributions is that we provide a time for theological reflection. And that's important. And to say that the seminary is involved, our concerns are very broad, and that that reflection takes in, you know, all the events that we encompass as human beings. And that's important. And for me, it seems to me that the Seminary Explorers is an educational venue, you know, that we are also educating. And that's another form of, for me, Christian education, religious education, and general education for the public.
Mm. And I've found that, you know, especially Katie, in a lot of your interviews, especially with writers and poets, your ability to help bring it around to how can this help a pastor, a current pastor, or a pastor who's developing their skills, how can these skills be important? How can these understandings... And, you know, I think it does, you know, and despite what I said earlier, we do have such a very diverse set of viewpoints and opinions that are coming in through this program, that it really provides a lot of information. You know, I know that it's been used in Sunday school classes, either been recorded at them, or people have taken the material away and used it, you know, as part of a training class or part of a discussion group. So I think there is a lot of potential beyond just when we throw it up on the internet for it to be used in other means. So.
A conversation. This continues with the Seminary Explorers, a conversation of people who will have some expertise, a concern for their community, a love for one another, and a hope for their future, all the things that we kind of stand for.
Yeah.
May I say with that we can wrap it up and say we've celebrated our 5th anniversary as a podcast with Nelson Strobert, Don Redman, Katie Giebenhein, and we say greetings to and thank you to Kristen Largent, who's done several of these interviews as well. I'm Jerry Christensen. You are listening to the Seminary Explorers, and we wish you a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.